Okay. God bless you guys. Good to be with you on this special first Sunday of summer, Lord's Day. We are into a series all year long looking at this theme of Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. And just want to say, I think Jesus was really into this theme. You know, there's a verse in the scriptures. In fact, Jim Young, are you awake, Jim?
I'm awake. I haven't gone to sleep.
Okay, Matthew 6:33 says what, Jim?
What?
Matthew 6:33 says what? Yeah, there you go. And that's in case Jim didn't get it right. That's right up there. That's, you know, Jesus said that in the Sermon on the Mount, one of his, you know, great messages. And he was saying this is what it's all about. How many of you are familiar with Stephen Covey, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People? He said this, the main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. And Jesus would say, the main thing is the kingdom of God. Keeping that front and center. And again, Matthew chapter 6, this is another translation. It says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. This is the focal point. This is where we're supposed to be. Keeping our attention, and yet what we tend to do is to live in other places, don't we? In fact, what tends to be substituted oftentimes, at least in my life, what tends to be substituted are things like golf, right, Mike? Or do people like me? Are they laughing at my jokes? Do they, you know, I can keep on going on what things I think are really important. But Jesus said, you know, there's some very essential things in life that we maybe ought to worry about, ought to have a focus on, but even those things should not take precedence over the kingdom of God. He said, therefore I tell you, do not worry. Do not let your focus become about your life, what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Now, I would just like to say, I don't worry about my clothes. I mean, the only thing I worry about is if I have too much clothes. How many of you worry about your clothes? I mean, do you have the clothes that's in season, or do you have the clothes? My wife tells me every now and then that my clothes don't match, you know, that this doesn't go with this. But, you know, I don't worry about whether or not I have clothes to wear. Jesus is saying, there are people out there that need clothes just to survive, because that's the level that they're talking about. And if you have two shirts, you're a wealthy person because you have a change of clothes. You've got something to protect your body. And I don't think about what I'm going to eat. I think about what I shouldn't eat. How many of you ever worry about having too much food around the house? I mean, there's too little food. Well, it's usually, hey, this is going bad. I've got to. In fact, there's so much bread out there. Where's Brett? Brett went out the window. There's so much bread out there right now that all we're saying is how can we give some away, right? And that's where my mentality is. But Jesus said, if you were living day to day, and if you did not have enough food or enough clothes, and you'd say, gosh, where's it coming from next? You said you shouldn't be worrying at that level. Well, if you shouldn't worry at that level, I don't think he's saying that there's any real area of focus that should take you away from this thing called the kingdom of God. This is what he wants us to be focusing on. There's a guy. Let me see if you know this picture. Anybody know who this is? Keith Green. He's a guy back in the, 70s? 28 years old. He died at 28 in a small plane crash, but he became sort of a Christian icon back in the day. I mean, he had sort of like a commune going, and he was writing books and singing songs and whatever. But one of his songs really, really, has stuck in my head. it goes this way. You know, it ain't no use banging your head up against that cold stone wall, because nobody's perfect except for the Lord, and even the best bound to fall. Remember, he is divine and you are the branch. He'd love to get you through if you'd give him a chance. And this is the phrase that I really like. Just keep doing your best and pray that it's blessed, and Jesus takes care of the rest. Yes, the Lord said he'd take care of the rest. He's going to do it. He'll take care of the rest. He'll see you through it. He'll take care of the rest. The devil blew it. He'll take care of the rest. He'll take care of the rest. But that's a powerful message in there, isn't it? It's a powerful message that he really drew out of this passage in the Sermon on the Mount, this passage in Matthew chapter 6, where I tend to get so focused on everything that doesn't go right. My mind just goes there. Bread is right. I have this addiction toward, this didn't go just right. You know, I'll tell Ann, she'll say, how did you do golf? And I said, well, I did really good except for this one hole where I got a 9 on the hole. I did really good. And she'll say, if dog, rabbit or something like that, woulda, shoulda, coulda, you got all kinds of, if you coulda, if you did. And I said, but why couldn't I think about the things that went well? It's so hard for me to get my mind on what went right. I can always find, when Ann and I are talking about things at church, it's so easy for us to begin to say, and that's true at work. I mean, 2 months ago, Ann wasn't having any business. And so, Lord, gosh, we're really, can't you do something? Well, now she's got so much business that she's saying, and they were saying, Lord, slow it down. It's never quite right. There's always something. And it's like, gosh, Jesus is saying, keep the main thing the main thing. If you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all the other stuff will come together. Jesus asked this interesting question. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? That's kind of an interesting question, isn't it? Because by and large, there's some things maybe we should worry about. We should worry about to try to motivate us to move ahead. But most of the time, when that paralyzing worry gets involved in our lives, it only robs us of life, doesn't it? It robs us of time. I think we've got this list. I went to Prevention Magazine, and it says worry can make you exhausted. It messes with your, what's that word, Jim? Anyways, that's what that is. It upsets you. Oh, tea upsets your digestion. It upsets your, worry can do something. It goes on. It makes you break out. Well, golly, that's a good one for the teenagers in our midst here. This is, you can't remember anything. And how about that? This is, it has all kinds of negative, it screws up your manicure. Anybody notice this? This is, it makes you gain weight, and it goes on. How many? Losing hair. Gosh, we can keep on going. It makes your back ache. And yet, with all this stuff, it also seems to take away from you the things that make life worth living. Not only robs you of time of life, but it makes life worth living. Jesus, in his, last bit of time on this earth, he got together with his disciples and he said, guys, I'd like you to come and pray with me, because I need you right there with me. Well, they're worried, concerned, afraid that they're going to lose their leader. This is what Jesus was saying. I'm going to be going to the cross soon. And so, what did they do? Instead of staying up with Jesus and awake with him, their worry pushed them into an escape mode, and their escape was to fall asleep. How many of you have that ability that you can fall asleep to escape? You're able to do that. Gosh, I'm the exact opposite. You stay awake. I mean, some of us, I'm more the awake person, and that's why Ann and I, when we get into an argument, she goes to sleep, I'm awake. You know, this just it just doesn't work. I'm arguing with nobody. Have you ever been there? That's the worst. That's the most aggravating argument you can have is when your spouse is sleeping and you're just churning with it. I want to tell you what's happening. What's that? That's why faking sleep. It's a fake sleep. Jesus was saying, you know, guys, you know, couldn't you stay awake? What's going on? Well, they're worried. They're afraid. They're sleeping, but it's sleeping to escape what's coming next. And I think what we do with life so often is God's called us to be a fisherman and we're not fishing. He's called us to be a farmer and we're not farming. He's called us to be a parent. We're not parenting. He's called us to be a lover and we're not loving. He's called us to live life, to really, you know, I keep on saying, Ann and I are starting to pray this prayer every morning because somebody taught us this. They said, you know, their mother used to pray every morning, Lord, thank you for waking me up in my right mind. And Ann and I pray that prayer, and we kind of are hoping that that's the case each morning. We're starting to say, you know, Lord, thank you. We're in our right mind. Thank you. We're walking and we're talking. We're still healthy. Thank you for those really super important things, the really big things we've got. We've got some family and we got some friends. Oh man, we're blessed out the wazoo in life. And yet, it's so easy to get caught up. It's so easy to get caught up in the stuff that will pull our focus away from the main thing, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus, again, back in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, and why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell them that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? I want you to be focusing on the main thing. Now, some of us may be familiar with this. So he goes on to say, what shall we eat, or do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. We have a picture of the. I don't know if you can see that. Can you see that? It's Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Are you familiar with that? I think we all learned that at some point in our school, but down the bottom of the triangle are the physiological needs, breathing, food, water, sex, sleep, homeostasis, excretion, those kind of basic things that we just need to be sustained in life, to keep life going. And then up the ladder, there's security of body, or there's safety needs, security of body, employment of resources, health, property, just making sure your house is there for you. You got shelter. And then up the ladder, it goes to love and belonging, friendship, family, sexual intimacy. And further above that, self-esteem, confidence, achievement, respect of others, respect by others. And then finally, self-actualization. That's that point at the very top. That's really where Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. It's at the highest level. Yes, sir.
Only 2% of the people in the world ever get to the top level because they're too busy with all the other crap.
You know, Jim, you kind of summarized what probably I was trying to say in a couple words there. Thank you for doing that. But that's really, it's really true. we stop and we think about when all said and done with our life and how we've lived and what's gone on, it's not at so much of this other stuff that we're going to say is of any concern to us. It's at this top point. Have I begun to integrate my life with the life of God, the life that He has designed for me? Have I lived only for these other needs and desires, or have I lived for something beyond myself? I think this is Jesus' great calling. He's saying, I want to pull you to something beyond yourself. Every time I say, gosh, you know, I'm getting to that retirement age, but then I say, what I want to do in retirement? I'd like to do in retirement? I'd like to really get invested in serving people. That's what I really want to do with retirement. I mean, so
keep on working.
Keep on working. I mean, until you all kick me out. Until Brett says that I've got problems. This is it's what a blessing. You know, you all, like I said, you all bless me so much every time we gather. You affirm me. You make me feel like I'm a human being, and more than that, that I'm God has a plan and purpose in my life. And I just want to say that same thing back to you. I want that going two ways. Somehow to say, gosh, you're so special. God has brought you into this world because you are unbelievably special. You know who I'm really pleased to have here this morning? I just want to say that. Zach, you know what, young man? Zach, how old are you?
12,
shoot. You're getting too old here. I can't give you a hard time anymore, can I? Yeah, I mean, he's pretty close to knowing everything. It's his parents' fault that he knows everything. But Zach, you don't realize, young man, it's hard to realize at 12 how unbelievable life is and what a gift you've been given right now. You kind of absorb life in a wonderful way. You make me feel special. You teach me about what life is all about. I love to see a child who just loves life. We become adults way too soon, Zach. And adults get their mind off of other stuff in life. And the stuff sometimes isn't what is important. It's seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You know, one of the great stories I like in the Bible is the story of Mary and Martha. I've got a wife that is a Martha type, and I tend to be, I think, a little bit more of a Mary type. She says Martha types are the ones that do the work, and Marys are the ones that sit and don't do much. So it's kind of amen to that. As Jesus and His disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. It's very interesting, probably very likely a teenager, because most women of this time period were married, and it could have been she was an orphan and her sister there with her, maybe young teenagers. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she was smart because she knew that things had to be done. Because if you're going to have a meal, you've got to get things done. You've got to work. You've got to be focused. You've got to have these things all happening. You got to get the placemats out. You got to get I want to say this. When you make carrots and you turn on the oven, you've got to actually put the carrots in the oven, don't you, Ann? I mean, you actually got to put them in. You can't just have the... Anyways, that's a private joke. That's a private joke. It's not very funny. You also, when you have this sauce with shrimp in it and you put it in the microwave, you actually got to turn on the microwave and not leave it there all night. Like That was me. But see, there's things to be done. But Martha was distracted. I think we need to come on back just a second. Martha was distracted by all the preparation. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Anne's Aunt Minnie, is it Minnie? Was that the one that used to, she said Aunt Minnie was the person that when they had family gatherings, she always had to leave the table as soon as the meal was done, and everyone else had to do all the work. And so, what's that? And disappeared to the bathroom. Well, we won't go there. Well, let's go to the next slide here. Martha, the Lord answered, "You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Jesus is saying, look, I want you to be focused on the main thing, the main thing. You know what? Do people irritate you by doing things the wrong way? I mean, gosh. It doesn't. I mean, tell you what, Al-Anon cures it all. It cures everything. Golly, there might even be some people in this room that are irritated with, you know, somebody else in this. I mean, we're big enough that can happen. It, you know, and when all is said and done, I wonder how much Jesus is laughing at our irritations. Saying, "Wow, that is so petty. I can't believe you got really upset about that. I can't really believe that that was the thing that flipped you out. I can't really believe you blew your stack over this thing. I went to Verizon on Friday because we got some new phones, and I went there because I was getting there was a little email problem, not a huge one, a little one. I went to see somebody, and there's this little girl that there, and she says, "Well, have you tried wiping out your email account?" And I said, "No, I'm a real dummy about this stuff." And she said, "Well, let's just wipe it on out. Now, what's your password?" "Well, and what's your..." I said, "I don't know. I'm a dummy." She says, "Oh." I said, "Well, I'm trying to think of, you know, I am a pastor, but I am really angry. I mean, and here's this little girl, and she's probably thinking, you dummy, you don't know anything about, I mean, you really are a dummy. I mean, you're an old dummy," she's probably saying, because she's young and she's quick and she's wiped out my account. I can't do anything now. And my hands are tied. What am I going to do? Well, she says, "Can you call your IT person?" My IT person? I'm a pastor. I mean, who's my IT person? I mean, what are you? This is a little church. And I said, "Can I talk to somebody who knows? I mean, somebody knows something." So we get this guy who knows something more, and he says the same. You need to talk to your IT. Anne's my IT person, so I'm calling up Anne. Even Ann can't fix it. I did call Brad this time, John, and I might have kicked up to John eventually. But guess what? It was resolved pretty easily. But even if it wasn't, boy, I had all this angst and anger focused on this little girl. And I don't want to tell her what I do for a living. I mean, I don't want to tell her I'm the pastor of this church because I really don't like you right now. I'm really angry with you because you're smarter than I am. And Jesus is up there laughing. Who in the world do you think you are going to stand before some people and tell them how they can connect with God, and you can't even deal with this little girl who works at Verizon? and love on her, even though she's made a mistake. Maybe. I don't know. You know, I think Jesus would say, can you keep the main thing, the main thing? I'm really believing every night as I begin to catalog all the things that I can worry about, I'm thinking, gosh, the biggest challenge I have right now is to keep that main thing the main thing. I really believe my biggest challenge is to say God has got this also. Because as soon as one of these problems that has so consumed me gets out of the way, a new one comes and takes its place. It's really amazing how that happens. It's they're all in line. And, oh, this is the biggest problem. If that one's only taken care of, well, that one goes, and then there's another one. And that one's even bigger than the one that I thought was a big one. And I think at every single point, God is saying, I've got it. I've got this. And let him take care of the rest. Lord, I just pray. I pray that this first day of summer will be a great time for us to realize that you've got it all under control. There's not a person, there's not a situation, there's not a thing that goes on that you don't know about and are working out for good if we love you, and somehow you're making things happen beyond our understanding. And we want to keep that main thing the main thing. We do want to seek after you and your kingdom. And we just pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.